Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. Once upon a time, 20 years ago, James Honaker, Laurent Zarate, and Patricia Rowland brought a restaurant to a town in Montana named Billings, Enzo Mediterranean Bistro. On November 11th, the restaurant serving flavors from France, Africa, Spain, and Italy opened up in a mustard-colored building with a terracotta-tiled roof and a welcoming curved entrance. But this is not really where the story begins. 10 years previous, in 1987, the Gang of Three founded an eatery in Billings many still speak of today. The small restaurant, located downtown, served up cuisine in a French contemporary style ahead of its time. It was called La Toque, referring to a tall crowned hat traditionally worn by chefs. The restaurant served up food that food writer Christine Myers warned diners, be prepared to treat your taste buds and your aesthetic sense. Unfortunately, 2 years later, the restaurant shuttered and the trio went their separate ways, only to reunite in 1998. We go to the restaurant still located on the west end of Billings to talk to executive chef James Honaker, who tells the story of how Enzo Mediterranean Bistro, now called Bistro Enzo, began.
This version of the restaurant, this version of was a partnership with Laurent Zarate and myself. And I've known him since a restaurant in San Francisco, which would be 1983, 1984.
And what was the name of the restaurant?
Gerard Brasserie. To make a long story short, he was in France and wanting to come back to the United States. And so we talked about opening a restaurant here. And after an extended period of time and some assistance from Steve Corning, we did.
Because of life's circumstances and challenges, Zarate and Rowland are no longer with the restaurant, leaving Billings about 10 years ago, and have opened their own bistro in Post Falls, Idaho, called Fleur de Sel. Before we talk about Bistro Enzo of today, I want to share a little bit about the chef named semi-finalist 3 times as Best Chef of the Northwest by the James Beard Foundation. At a titch over 60, he once ventured to New York to pursue a career as a jazz drummer. After enrolling in cooking classes at Peter Kump's and then receiving chef training at the New School Restaurant School, he cooked at Windows of the World, securing wine knowledge from Raymond Wellington. He then went to Napa, California as a guest chef at Behringer's Winery to eventually end up at Gerard's Brasserie in San Francisco, where he met Zarate and Rowland. A film school scholarship took him back to New York, but it did not pay for all the expenses. Then one day on the street, he ran to Chef Eric Rupert of Le Bernardin, who secured Honaker a job. Then while on vacation in Honaker's home state of Montana, he met up with Zarate and Rowland once again to plan the opening of La Toque. Fast forward to today, Chef Honaker cooks by night to attack the roads on his road bike and 1995 BMW E36 M3. He continues to savor jazz music with what he describes, If I Could Take 3 Records to Heaven, by John Coltrane, Duke Ellington, and his favorite, Du Jour. Now, let's hear from Chef Honaker to what his reaction to being nominated as a semi-finalist for the Best Chef of the Northwest by the James Beard Foundation.
The first one, it made me feel that I had to do a better job because it was intimidating. You know, I've got to start thinking more, which is tough to do when you're my age. It's hard to think. It's hard to create. Creating isn't the most important thing in a restaurant. In some restaurants it is, but those are 1 out of 1,000 where people show up and create every day. And some of those restaurants are very good and some of them are not very good. But I had this sense that I had to do a better job.
Well, was it somewhat like keeping your Michelin star? I mean, you've already been acknowledged that you were doing a good job here in Billings. And why did you put that pressure on yourself?
Because I knew the level I was cooking at, and I knew I could probably cook better than that. It wasn't a lack of effort or a lack of hours. But I had to be, is the word, more of an artisan. It's like a production every day. Every day you come and you produce and you produce and you produce and you produce a simpler product. And, you know, you get into a rut and you say, well, this tastes good and that's fine. But, you know, some days you should come in and say, you know, I'm tired of what I did last night or the last year, and I want to do something different. I want to do it better, or at least different. So that was the effort on the first one. The other two, I don't know. We already made that effort.
Well, where do your inspirations come from? You're saying you want to change it up. So where are the ideas coming from?
Well, I'm old, so all my inspirations are from the time that I was in very nice restaurants and with very fine cooks. And those are the people that were inspiring at the time, like Thomas Keller, like Eberhard Mueller, plenty of others that aren't as famous as those guys. And basically, like Thomas Keller, for instance, he's just a super quality professional and a perfectionist, but he also has the ability to create. But his restaurants aren't the most creative because it has to be perfect before he'll serve it. And that's really not what happened. Thomas Keller, though, retired from the line 5 years ago, and I'm exactly the same age as he is, so I'm maybe a little long in the tooth for working on the line.
Whether long on the tooth, or better said, as long on experience, Chef Honecker's menu has evolved from 20 years ago. When it first originated, it patterned a European-style menu.
To be honest, the starting menu, even though I liked it, didn't work very well. A la carte in those days didn't seem to work very well, and our execution could have been better. There's a lot of reasons why things happen, but a few months in the restaurant, we did a version of the menu that we're still using, although a couple months ago, we actually switched to a la carte after almost 20 years, and it's working better this time. Not perfect, but better.
The a la carte menu has always been anchored by a Mediterranean theme, and in years past has been infused with flavors from around the world.
It evolved as things evolve without very much thought. So we do something from Asia or something inspired from Asian cuisine. And personally, I like it. Or even Mexican food, I like that food too. So, but do I think it's a good idea? To be honest, I think there's the last menu, we're sort of going back to the original idea, which was a pure concept of Mediterranean, including Spanish and Northern African. And it doesn't mean we won't ever do something that doesn't fit into that at all. But that's what we're trying to do now, is something a little bit more towards the original concept, which I think it evolved out of necessity, not out of thought, if that makes any sense.
For Chef Honecker, that necessity involves keeping loyal customers happy. A drastic change in the menu, removing favorite dishes, could cause revolt or certainly complaints. But what will always remain is Honecker's favorite ingredient to cook with.
Well, it's always fish. It's going to be pristine, and we make our best effort to make that happen. And we have some good purveyors for fish. It's definitely better than it was, for instance, 35 or 40 years ago, where you absolutely had to get everything flown in, and that was always a hassle. But it's much better now. So definitely fish. I don't care what fish. And vinaigrettes, believe it or not. I love vinaigrettes. So.
A vinaigrette is made by mixing oil with something acidic, such as vinegar, or a fruit juice, such as lime or lemon. Salt, herbs, and spices can then be added. The concoction is mostly used as a salad dressing or marinade, but for Chef Honecker, he also uses the mixture as a sauce for his dishes. The result is a balance of flavors, but it is not just food that Honecker brings balance to.
You have inspired a lot of young chefs. They have come through your kitchen and they have actually moved on to other restaurants and opportunities. Why have you made it a mission to actually train the young people here in Billings?
Because there's two reasons. I like working with young people. It becomes more trying as you get older just because you get grumpy. But there's also just the practicality of this is what's available. You have somebody without not a lot of experience, but with some talent and the ability to show up on time and the ability to learn, or at least a desire to learn, and those people are fine to work with. There's talent in Billings, but it's not the same. You know, in Manhattan, you have a choice of 100. There was one time at Le Bernardin that Eberhard Mueller told me, when I told him I was thinking about leaving, he opened up his desk drawer and he had thousands of applications, all from people who were talented or experienced, and said, you know, make sure you make the right choice, because for every job here, I get 1,000 applications. That doesn't happen in Billings, obviously. You just look for the people that want to work hard and can learn.
Well, you certainly have nurtured those people. Give me some examples of memorable moments here at the restaurant over the years.
Memorable. The opening. like all restaurants. Not good memorable, just memorable, because it's always chaos in the opening. That's a good question. The holidays are always fun because there's big parties and it's festive and people are maybe a little bit more relaxed because if there's a 40 people upstairs and 40 people, 50 people are at the same time downstairs, we can get a little slower than we normally are, but people are a little bit more relaxed the holiday season. And then there's been, I don't know, over the years there's been people who come from other places, like from France or from Canada or from Spain, and appreciated the food or liked the food. And so that's nice.
You've now done this for 20 years. What's planned for the future here?
Just to keep plugging away. That's the plan. You know, there's been opportunities to open some other restaurants. But I think at this time in my life, the most important thing is just trying to do what I'm doing and trying to do the best job I can do doing it. And I don't think it's time to open a new restaurant. That's for young people.
So as Bistro Enzo moves into 20 years, what does Chef Honecker have to be grateful for?
Just a great appreciation for both the staff and the customers. The staff, many of them have been here for a long time, and even those who haven't, I think generally do a good job and try very hard. And the customers, I mean, that's the only reason why we're in business, so a great appreciation for that. We'll try our best, as always.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next, we talk to longtime customers Roy and Kim Brown, who have frequented Bistro Enzo from the beginning, and even before. So how loyal are the Browns as customers?
We first started going to Enzo's before it was Enzo's. It was called La Toque, and it was downtown. And then they closed that and then opened up out here later on. But it's been a staple for us for dinner for a long time.
Mm-hmm. It can sometimes be 2 to 3 times a week, Stella, depending on what's going on. We tend to celebrate all birthdays in our family here.
Kim has her girlfriend groups that are famous around town, and they all get together here too. And whenever we have like an anniversary or a birthday or anything when the kids are in town, we like to come here because it's our favorite place.
But even more, the Browns share other reasons why Bistro Enzo has become so important in their lives.
The staff is so kind because after we lost our daughter, we had all the Brown family out here to dinner, and of course they brought all their famous desserts out, and they were just so sympathetic and kind to us.
Yeah.
And so in other words, it's more like a family here. You walk in and you feel like you're home.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have a favorite table here at the restaurant. And where is that table?
As you walk in, it's the first one to the left. And the reason I love that table is because you get to see everyone that walks in. And they may not see you sitting there as they walk in, but when they walk out, they definitely will see you. And then you can have a little visit with everyone who enters.
We have learned of where the Browns want to sit, but what are some of their favorite dishes to order?
I have probably ordered the portobello mushroom pasta dish thousands of times. No, literally thousands of times. It is always perfect, great flavor. And besides, that portobello mushroom has a lot of roughage, so I feel like I'm eating healthy.
Roy, what is your favorite dish?
Well, there's so many good things that are great to eat here, and I like to start with the rock shrimp, and then the ribeye is just wonderful. And the sauce that James puts on the ribeye with the mashed potatoes underneath, but that sauce that is on the steak itself, if he ever put that in a jar and sold it, he'd make a fortune.
And trust me, every time you order that particular dish, he says to me, if they would just bottle this sauce. So I've heard this a million times.
Yeah.
But it's true. It really,
it really is great.
Excellent.
Aside from the food and staff, here is what the Browns have to say about Chef Honecker.
James has just been a stalwart here. He is really, he works hard, and he's always there, and he just does a great job, and it's quite a tribute to James because he's not out around the people because he's working so hard out in the kitchen, but once in a while he stops by and he'll wander through and he'll say hello and we'll have a few words, and then he'll head back to work and get after doing the next dish, so he does a great job.
But really, they are just a few words because he's a busy man, and he just checks to see that everything's okay, and then he's back to work.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate him.
Welcome back. In the second part of Flavors Under the Big Sky, we talked to longtime staff, servers Daisy Castro and Dave Casario, day chef Paul Wrights, and loyal volunteer and pastry chef Leslie Soleri. They share memorable moments and other stories from Bistro Enzo. First, we meet Leslie Soleri.
What I do here is quite a conundrum. Do a lot of little things and a couple of big things, and I'm a helper here. I'm more of a volunteer. I am not an employee, and I'm a very dear friend of James's, so I've been here a long time. I've been doing special things for him for about 10 years, but I've known him since 1987.
What Soleri failed to share with you was she makes many of the desserts that are offered as specials at the restaurant. She once owned a bakery called Great Beginnings, Perfect Endings. Now let's meet another dedicated member of the Bistro Enzo team, Chef Paul Wrights.
I've been here since about 2002, and I do morning work. I come in, I'm called the day chef, and I'm in charge of myself pretty much, and sometimes have to tell Leslie to get out of my way. And I mainly prep cook, and I do ordering, and I'm James's liaison when he comes in and gets started at noon to do his stuff. He knows what's going on, and stuff is rolling when he gets here, I hope.
We next hear from Dave Casario, server by night at Bistro Enzo and poet by day.
I wait tables here and drink wine. I've been working here since July 9th, 2003.
Now let's meet Daisy Castro.
I've worked here from the very beginning. I am a server. It's been a pleasure working with James all these years.
Next, I asked the group to share some of their memorable moments with working with Chef Honecker. We begin with Chef Wrights.
When he goes on vacation, that's always memorable. Happens once a year, and usually it's pretty routine. I remember when I got hired on as a line cook, and it was the first week or so, and people were running all around me, and I didn't know what was going on. And towards the end of the night, it's like, what can I do to stay out of the way? And I started doing some dishes in the sinks, and James said to Darren, the chef, who was here for many, many years, that we're not paying this guy to wash dishes. Well, funny thing is, now that I'm working alone all the time, I'm washing all my own dishes, so he still is.
Well, you're truly the magic behind the scenes invisible angel that makes everything happen here at the restaurant, I think.
Well, I'll agree.
Lastly, memorable moments with James.
Well, first and foremost, with James, he is the most unbelievable teacher you've ever been around as far as food. He is got the patience of Job on everything he does. So I am here a lot to pick up some of those things, the way he teaches, the way he tells us about wine, etc. But we did have a fun evening one night when I assisted him at the depot downtown in doing a catering event. And midway through the teaching that he was giving to everybody, Christine Twida walks up and says, "You do know you're making all these dishes." And I said, "Yes, we'll take care of them." And she says, "But you understand we don't have a dishwasher here." And so James and I loaded all the dishes up in bus tubs, hauled them back down here, turned the music on, opened a bottle of wine, and washed all the dishes. That was my memorable moment.
Well, it certainly illustrates that James and all of you are just very hands-on. You rise to the occasion when you need to. I'm going to go back to Daisy. Memorable moments with James.
Well, let's see. In the middle of a very busy rush, we always see James, how he strives through and how to get through a busy night. That's always a memorable moment to see. Yeah, he's a teacher. Of course, those are all memorable moments. He says funny things at night. We listen to him. He actually ask people questions, about, do you know this musician? Do you know, what I mean? Do you know who this was? Who playing this? Different things like that. So definitely he's a teacher. That I learned a lot of things with James over the years of food and wine. He's got a great passion for what he does. It seems like everything he does, not just in the food business, but in the general person that he is. So.
Server Dave Casario shares his memorable moments with Chef Honecker.
I like talking to James mostly about music, because James's music, he's interested in jazz and he knows jazz, and that's pretty much what he knows, and he's very good at it. And so I like talking to him about that. Mostly I'm doing the listening when he talks about jazz. So it's those kinds of things. Nothing, no specific moment.
From memorable moments with Chef James Honecker, we now ask Leslie Soleri, Daisy Castro, Dave Casario, and Paul Wrights to share those value moments with customers. We begin with Soleri, who shares a birthday celebrated for Kathy Honaker, James's sister. Soleri, who usually comes in on Sundays to make the soup and fruit-inspired desserts, on this day near July 4th, made a red, white, and blue trifle with 12 flags.
We fixed a special dessert for one of James's relatives, and we brought it out, and it was so big that she just stood up, grabbed a spoon, and went to each and every table and gave them some. And that was just kind of a fun moment.
And for Daisy Castro, what are some of her memories with customers and past events?
We used to do five-course beer things that we did with pairing beer and food with. That was a very fun night that we hosted actually a couple different times that we did those with Fat Tire, Black Butte Porter, Sierra Nevada, those beers. That was a fun time to do. And a couple of wine dinners that we did here, private parties for people, general like hosting their weddings, or we've closed the restaurant and done private parties for people, which was very fun. The real fun one was Langless's party, the very first one that they had when the restaurant opened. So that was quite interesting.
Describe, what was that party like? Were there a lot of people?
It was actually the whole crew, the people that worked on the restaurant, anybody that participated in the construct of the party. So that was fun, just trying new food, because we were all very excited to see, oh my gosh, people are going to like the food, or are they going to hate the food, or, you know, but it all turned out really well. So that was fun, the very beginning.
Memories may not always be joyous, but even the sad and challenging times provide a sense of community. Dave Casario shares.
When I first started working here in the beginning, I hit a stretch for a while where people seemed to die. people that had been here for quite some time. Our customers, and there were a lot of tragedies. And so I got to be there and serve people when they either had come back from the wake or they were about to go to it. And it was somber. And yet, even though I was just the server, I felt like a part of a community that I got to share with them. And that was pretty powerful.
The restaurant business can be challenging, with each and every day different. My next question focused on why these four people stayed with Bistro Enzo all these years.
Great customers. James cares about what he does, what he puts out. People here are fabulous.
What Daisy said about customers and about consistency of service and the food that we put out, that really does matter. I really hate having to apologize for things. Not because I don't like apologizing, but because if you're running a restaurant and you're apologizing all the time, you're not doing a very good job. So I find that we don't have to do that very often. But if we have to, we do. And so that's one of the things I think that's really important. And I like the community. When I first came here, I came from Seattle. I knew Paul. I didn't know anybody else. And I got to meet the community through Enzo. And that was interesting. And so I met a wide variety of people. I got a really good section of people, no matter where they were from, no matter what their political beliefs might be or anything like that. And it was really nice.
From a variety of events and meeting members of the community, Paul Reitz now tells us why he has been with the restaurant all these years.
I've never stayed in a restaurant more than 3 or 4 years. It's just the nature of the business, and you move on, other things come up. But this one, on 16 years, and it's because the kitchen is clean, the food quality is high, the quality of work is so good, then it's like I can always be happy. And then if I tell someone where I work, I'm not likely to get shot down.
Perhaps the biggest testimonial to being on a great team is what Leslie Soleri has to share.
James has one of the most remarkable palates I've ever run across. I guess he allows me to fiddle around, or maybe I should say Paul allows me to fiddle around a little bit as far as playing with the kitchen stoves and all of that stuff. James is just unbelievable. I will be here some days and just I will watch the most pristine fish coming in the back door that have just been flown in and delivered. And there's nothing like it. I don't know any other restaurant, and this is on a daily basis. And everything's handled beautifully, and the food is just plain good. That's all there is.
I was thinking that Leslie and I both travel a bunch, Dave, some too, and we eat in restaurants in major cities all over even the world, and so stands up to it, and we're cheaper too. I guess if we were in New York, we'd have to raise our prices, but it's top quality.
As the insiders to Bistro Enzo, I wanted to know what these four people closest to the restaurant ordered from the menu. We begin with Soleri.
At the very beginning, there were some scallops with some squash raviolis that I would come back over and over and over for. It's not on the menu any longer. Everybody gets to the point where they just can't produce it anymore after a certain amount of years in the kitchen, and that's good to quit because then you lose your edge on that dish. But now I always look at the fish and see what it is and choose from that. And you can't beat their hamburger. They have the best hamburger in town, bar none.
Next, what are the favorite dishes for Paul Wrights and Dave Casario?
I've become a big fan of the lamb. A local lamb that we're getting now is really, really delicious. Yeah, that's my favorite. But the fish, I always recommend that. I ask, do you like fish? Order the fish.
I live in Seattle in New York, and when I came to Montana, I said, well, that's it for fish and seafood. You know, but as Leslie said, it gets flown in, and it's in great condition. And so I come for the seafood. You know, I mean, I come for other things, but that's generally my go-to with that.
And for Daisy Castro?
I'm a Montana girl. I'm going to say the beef. I like the steak, so tenderloin or the ribeye, any of the meat here, they do such a great job. The veal piccata, fabulous.
At the mark of 20 years, this group of four has some final words for Chef James Honaker. Leslie Soleri begins.
A tribute to James is his stamina, his ability to come in day after day after day and do it right, do it well, and come back the next day and do it over again.
Chef Paul Wrights and Dave Casario have the following to say.
All the bosses I've had, I couldn't have stuck with any of them more than 5 or 6 years, so that says something. I can work well with James, and I'm happy to do it.
For me, it's James's level of empathy. And, I mean, don't try to hug him, but he has a great deal of empathy. And I mean that not just when I was talking about the people who, you know, he was doing funerals and stuff, but he remembers that, and he knows what's going on in the community. And he'll make sure, if he knows what's happening, we take care of them in a different way, commensurate to whatever might be going on with them. But he also helps out a lot of young kids, teaching them the craft, the whole thing about being in a kitchen. He takes them from dishwasher, if they're back in the kitchen, all the way up to the different aspects. They learn the kitchen inside and out. And a lot of kids are a little bit lost when they come in. And I've seen him pull some of those kids around. And that's really remarkable.
Finally, from Daisy Castro.
He's just very passionate about what he does. That's my tribute to him. I think he does such a great job at what he does. Over all the years I've worked for him, he cares.
Before I end this show, there's one more memory from Dave Casario involving Doug Nagel that I have saved for last.
One night, he and his whole opera crew had come in, and they were having a big dinner in the middle section. Well, one of our back waitresses, she was turning 21. And then I think James or perhaps Laurent went over and said, it's her 21st birthday. They got up in mass and entire and sang happy birthday. But it brought the entire house down. It was fantastic. You know, you have all these baritones and tenors and sopranos, and they just sing happy birthday, and you can feel the walls reverberating.
And now, to bring the house down once again, Doug Nagel and the MSU Billings Chamber Singers.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Bistro Enzo.
Happy birthday to Bistro Enzo. Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, has been produced with the help of Ken Siebert. Theme music is by Parker Brown. Additional funding has been provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.